I'm very thankful for the opportunity tonight to be able to share with us a little further on our theme, God Guarantees Your Victory. This is the last Wednesday of our Daniel fast, but not the last Wednesday of January. So by God's grace, we're going to have one more Bible study next week, even though the Daniel fast will be over. And then we'll take a break for a little bit. I want us to get into the Word of God tonight, and I hope to dismiss you early. So go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I'm not going to spend too much time reviewing. I'm going to try to get into some of the additional material that we have for this service tonight. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Remember, what we're studying is God guarantees your victory. Why? Because you belong to Him. You are of God. And you are from God. He is inside you. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Amplified says, little children, you are of God, you belong to God, and you have already defeated and overcome them, because He who lives in you is greater, mightier, than he who is in the world. So for two Wednesdays, we have talked extensively about the importance of knowing who you are, knowing who you are of. And we've looked at different translations of this particular scripture. And it's important that we know who we are of. We are of God. That we know who we belong to. We belong to God. That we know who we are from. We are from God. And to know who is inside of us. God, the greater one, lives inside of us. And because God is always victorious and He can't fail, and because we belong to God and we are of God, then we cannot fail. We are not of the world. We ought to say that to ourselves every now and then and remind ourselves, we are not of the world. I am not of the world. The world is the one that's dominated. The world is the one that fails. The world is the one that is not guaranteed victory. But I am not of the world. I am of God. I belong to God. Therefore, victory is guaranteed for me. The seed of God is inside you as a child of God. You were produced by the sperm of God. Therefore, you have His DNA. And that DNA guarantees that there's a part of God that is resident inside each of us. Because there is no bad or failure in Him. Everything about Him is all good and victory. Therefore, that victory and that good that is of God would eventually overwhelm whatever natural proclivities we may have to failure, to defeat, and things like that by virtue of our biological birth. Remember, the spirit always supersedes the natural. And so because we're born spiritually, that's what it means to be born again. So we were born naturally, but we were born spiritually by the sperm of God, by the seed of God. And that's why we are called the children of God, because He gave birth to us, as we have already seen in some of the scriptures that we have looked at. Now, we closed out last week in John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33, talking about the fact that Jesus is the closest example to a human being who was a splitting image of God, because He had God's DNA. And so we can look at Jesus and we can look at Jesus' experience, and that can actually be like an example, not just an example, but that's a prototype that God has given to us, almost like a blueprint for the plan of victory that the Lord has prepared for us. So in John 16:33, He says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's Jesus. And the Amplified says, I've told you this thing so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials, distress, frustration, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. So we know the word of God assures us that in every situation of life, we are guaranteed victory, that we will win. Actually, we have already won. And our victory is unfolding. That's an expression that we've used since we started learning about this subject. The fact that, yes, you may not even have victory in some of the areas that you are involved in. You may not seem to have manifested victory. It might seem like the struggle is on. It might seem like the enemy is fighting. It might seem like the opposition is much less. Like Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation or a lot of trouble. It might seem sometimes like even that trouble seems like it has an upper hand. And sometimes you might feel defeated. And sometimes you might feel like you haven't really laid hold on the victory that God assures you of. But that does not, none of that changes the word of God. All of that is subject to change. The word of God will never change. We learned last week, the world and everything and everyone in the world and everything in the world will change, but God is never going to change. Remember, we read in James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 last week, where he says he's the one, he never changes. He gave birth to us. All good gifts come from him, and he gave birth to us, and he's not a human. He does not change. He has no shadow of turning or no shadow of change in him. And therefore, the Bible tells us that because Jesus conquered the world and because Jesus earned and won the victory, we also will do the same. Matter of fact, many of us do know Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. And I'd just like to read that from a few versions of the Bible, if you will. And just listen to some of the translations that I have here. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, that's that scripture about where the writer of the book of Romans concludes his discourse, talking about all things work together for good for them that love God. Well, in verse 37, in the King James, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Hallelujah. And in the Amplified, it says, amid all of these things, we are more than conquerors, and we gain a surpassing victory. Glory to God. We gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. So our victory is overwhelming. We have it already. Some of the other translations that caught my eye in the way that they translated that particular verse is the CEV, the Contemporary English Version. It says, in everything, we have won more than a victory because of Christ who loves us. Amen. See, he won the victory, and because he loves us, we have won more. It says, more than a victory. The God's Word translation says, the one who loves us gives us, watch this, an overwhelming victory in all these difficulties. So this translator acknowledges that, yeah, you may have difficulties. Yes, you may have challenges, and you may have things that you're grappling with in your life, in your physical life, in your career, in your business, in your finances. Yeah, there might be challenges and difficulties that sometimes even seem confounding to us. But notice he says, the one who loves us, he gives us an overwhelming victory. It's an unmatched victory in all of these difficulties. Glory be to God. He gives us an overwhelming victory in all of these difficulties. The Good News Bible, it says, no, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. We have complete victory. What are we learning about? God guarantees your victory. What is the first thing that is mandatory for us to be aware of in order to enjoy the victory of God is know who you are of. You are of God. You belong to God. Well, because you belong to God, the Bible says in all of these things, we have complete victory through him that loved us. The ISV, International Standard Version, it says in all these things, we are triumphantly victorious. Triumphantly victorious. And on and on and on like that. NLT, New Living Translation. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. See, there's no doubt about your victory. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory. You will win. I love that line in our 2019 confession. Whichever way life turns, whether the world goes up or down, when it's all said and done, when it's all over, we win. That's guaranteed. Amen. It's guaranteed. The easy to read version says, but in all these troubles, we have complete victory through God who has shown his love for us. The world is so vulnerable to disaster, so open and so open to corruption, so subject to the ups and downs that nature is beset by. And if we are not constantly walking in the realization, the conviction of who we are in Christ, we can become like the world. And when the world goes up, we go up. When the world goes down, we go down. And that's not the will of God for us. The Bible says he has arranged for us to have complete victory. I know we talked a lot about this last week, and I don't want to give my time dwell on that again. Even though the situation seems a little bit more dire now than it even was last week, just some of the things going on in our nation. Certainly, I know that if you are a government worker, even if you are not one, but you know one, or you someone like that is in your family, it must grieve your heart. And even if you are none of the above, just the fact that what is going on is not a help in any way to our nation or to the world. But those are some of the downs. Those are some of the downturns that the world experiences. Well, regardless of that, though, the Bible says he has given unto us complete victory. I really like the complete Jewish Bible. Usually I don't use that too much because they have a lot of deep words, and it's one of those translations that's a little out there. It's not so particularly contemporary. But in this particular verse, I really love the way, I love what it says. It says, no, in all these things, we are super conquerors. I really love that. In all these things, it says, we are super conquerors through the one who has loved us. Man, we're not just conquerors, we are super conquerors. That's a complete Jewish Bible. I love that. I really, really, really love that. You are super conqueror. I mean, to be a conqueror is good enough, but you are not just a conqueror. You are super. You are super, a super conqueror. Glory be to God. Say that with me. I'm a super conqueror. That's who you are. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. I am super conquerors. I'm over the top victorious. Glory to God. I love it. I love it. And that all of that is because of who we are, who we belong to. We belong to God. We belong to God. He guarantees our victory. It's not subject to debate. There's no controversy about it. When this is all over, we win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go with me to Acts, the book of Acts and chapter 27. And I've wanted to read a few portions of this particular scripture for the last 2 weeks and have just not really gotten to it. Today, tonight, I'm going to discipline myself and try to get as far as I can get. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will minister to you here, whatever he has for you. Now, this was a very difficult situation that Paul was going through in Acts chapter 27. If you look there in verse 9, it says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives." So Paul was saying to them, he says, I perceive something. Now notice, this was not from his natural observation. This was from what he sensed in his spirit. One of the reasons why it's very important for us to be able to see a broad picture of the way that the Lord gives us victory is to understand some of the things that actually do affect the manifestation of our victory. We've talked a lot the last 2 weeks over one of the most important, actually the very first thing that does affect the unfolding victory, the manifestation of this victory, whether we enjoy it or not, is to know without any iota of doubt who you are of, who you belong to, who you are from, who lives inside of you. And we've established that. But there's a little bit more to enjoying victory and to walking in God's guaranteed victory that is really the focus of this particular scripture. But I want you to see here, in Paul saying that he perceives something, it's very important to keep in mind that God channels victory to us, but a lot of times he channels victory to us and expects us to walk according to his direction, to walk according to the things that he puts within our spirit. And sometimes it's not all the way clear, but there's usually a sensing. If you're a child of God, the Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord through which he lights up all of his inward parts. I think that's Proverbs 27, verse 20. Let me just confirm that I'm giving you the right scripture here. I think it is. There's a very important thing that I want to mention to you here where victory is concerned. Proverbs 27. Okay, so that's not it. Let me try. Proverbs
20:27.
Thank you. 20:27. Thank you. Here you go. Proverbs 20:27. Look at what it says. It says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The Amplified says, "The spirit of man, that factor in human personality, which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost part." Now, let me put this in very simple language for you. What that is telling us is there's a lot of things that's available to God that God will make available to us through our spirit man. Our spirit man is that person on our inside, is that person who dwells, that's the real us, that's the person who dwells inside of us. Well, what is the relevance of this to our lesson on enjoying guaranteed victory is that a lot of times there are things that God channels to us that enable us to walk in the path of his guaranteed victory. With many things we don't fully grasp, we don't fully understand, but we have a sensing. Notice it says it's the candle. You know what a candle is? A candle is not a flood lamp. It's not like this, 600, 1000 watt bulb. A candle is just this little flicker. So that tells you that a lot of times we might not even fully grasp everything that the Lord might be trying to show us, or that the Lord might be trying to channel through us to direct our path in the way of his victory. But what it does tell us is we will have a sensing in every walk and in every situation of life. I want to encourage you, child of God, to pay a lot of attention to that sensing. The sensing you have, this is one of the big advantages that we have as children of God rather than people of the world. People of the world, they are just dense. Yeah, they do have, they sense things every now and then, you hear, but it's not a right. It's not, that's not who they are. Every once in a while, they might have this little, they call it intuition or something or whatever. And that's all good. But it's not something that is a given for them. It's not a guaranteed thing for them. As a child of God, the moment we became born again and we received Christ, we received God's DNA, and we became born of the Spirit, that moment, something from God became deposited within us. Well, what is that something from God? That's a part of God's DNA, a part of God's person, a part of who God is. And one of the ways that plays out is there is a light that he puts within our spirit. You remember from, if you're familiar with the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 from verse 1, where he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and it was through him that all things were created, and without him nothing was created, and all of that. But then he says, in him was light, and that light was the light of man. In him was life, and that life was light of man. And he says, that light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. One of the things, one of the ways that God guarantees us victory in our daily walk, in our daily experience, is through this light that he puts within our spirit. Well, this light is what you see Paul speaking out of. There was nothing in the natural that really supported what he was telling the people in the ship. But he sensed that there was danger just ahead. He sensed there was some calamity coming. And you know, sometimes the Lord, in order to direct our path, sometimes in order for the Lord to show us the right way to go, might put a sense, you, which you might not fully understand, might just say, well, instead of going on that route, go on this other route. And you may not fully understand why. It may not make sense to you. But it's very important as a child of God that we pay a lot of attention to the things we sense in our spirit, especially when you pray. If you're a prayerful person and you are in the Word, you're fellowshipping with God by the Holy Spirit, and especially at times when maybe you need to make a very important decision, or you need to take some action or move in certain directions, take certain steps and things like that. Don't just go out and do it depending on everything going on in your mind. I know that our book talks a lot about that in Growing in Spiritual Perception. The devotional also has a few little studies on that. But this is so important. So Paul said, I want to move on here because of time. Paul said, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, verse 11, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul, because the centurion leaned more on what was naturally available to him. He didn't see any reason why, you know, he should take Paul's counsel. And as a matter of fact, in verse 13, you see where it says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing them, they sailed close by Crete. So something actually confirmed to them, oh yeah, forget about Paul. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, he's not been eating too much. He's fasting a lot. So he might be seeing stuff. He just might be seeing things and hearing things. But forget him. Let's keep going. But so in ignoring the direction that the Lord was giving them, they came into a bad damage. They came into a terrible loss. Remember, God guarantees your victory. One of the ways he guarantees our victory is through the channels of direction that he gives to us. All right, let's go all the way down. Read with me in verse 20. Well, read from, verse 18. We've been exceedingly tossed. So this is afterwards when they went on their own way and then, you know, things didn't pan out the way they thought. Being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tacking of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Look at verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened or listened to me, and you should not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Remember, God, it was victory that was guaranteed, but they're coming to harm and loss. Now look at verse 22. It says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." So even in the midst of their difficulty, even in the midst of their trouble, God still sent them a word. God still sent that light to them. He said, "Don't worry, all hope is not lost." Even though in the natural, it seemed like all hope was lost. You are going to see that where he says there, right there in verse 20, he says, "And all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." It seemed like all hope was lost in that situation. And yet God sent them his word and said, no, all hope is not lost. And Paul said, "I exhort you now to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." That sounds like victory to me. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Now, I want you to look at that. Just listen, if you don't have the Amplified version of the Bible, I want to read that to you from the Amplified. This is a very, very, very important piece of scripture. Right in the middle of that difficulty, right in the middle of that tribulation that they were experiencing, right in the middle of all hope being lost, Paul said to them, "For this very night, there stood by my side an angel of God," listen, "to whom I belong." There stood by my side an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. Notice, remember, we're learning very strongly that the root of victory is knowing who you are of, knowing who you belong to, knowing who you are from, knowing who lives inside of you. Well, in the midst of this shipwreck, this daunting challenge that they face at sea, with all hope being lost, suddenly Paul is saying, "Wait a minute, guys, I belong to God." Glory to God. I belong to God. And because I belong to God, I know victory is guaranteed. Now, this is when they are facing a shipwreck. This is when they are facing this, all hope. He said, all hope that they should be saved. And we're not even talking about the ship. That's already a foregone conclusion. This is now about their own lives. All hope that they will survive was lost. And Paul got up and said, "Guys, wait. I belong to God." This is so important, child of God. This is so important. And I pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit, you are able to dwell on that. You are able to really grow that revelation within your spirit, because this is one of the most crucial things that guarantees your victory in life. He says, "I belong to God." And because I belong to God, God guarantees our victory. Look at verse 24. He says, saying, "And he said to them, 'Do not be frightened, Paul.'" He said to Paul, he says, God said to him, "Do not be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told me." The King James says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it will be even as it was told me." Now, long story short, and right after he gave them that word, this time they listened to him. Praise God. Sometimes, you know, it takes a challenge or a difficulty or running into trouble for our senses to kind of return to us and for us to say, I better pay attention to what the Lord has been trying to show me. And that happens to every believer. And so they listened to him now, and they did what he said. And by the grace of God, they were able to arrive at shore. I'll go all the way down to verse 44. It says, "The rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safely to land, just as the Lord told Paul." Now, remember what Paul said. He said, "I belong to God." Because he belonged to God, his victory was guaranteed. Now, I don't want you to lose hold of that, because that's not the end of this story, right? So the Lord kept them, and they arrived at shore and found themselves on this island called Melita. Now, I'm going to read from chapter 28 and verse 1. Okay. It says, "And when they were escaped, they came and they knew that the island where they arrived at was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire, and they received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them in the fire, there came a viper," that's a snake, a dangerous snake, "out of the heat and fastened itself on his hand." Now listen now, verse 4, "And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet vengeance does not suffer him to live.'" See, that's the way they interpreted it. Like, man, okay, he escaped at sea, but finally this thing has caught up with him now, and this snake has been sent to destroy him. But I want you to look at what happened in verse 5. The Bible says, "And he shook." No, there was no drama. There was no noise, no jumping up and down, no clapping 10 times, no shaking his hair, shaking his body, wriggling on in the sand. No, there was no drama. The Bible just says, "He shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm." He shook off the beast. Now, that is not ordinary. And these people, these barbarians, who were not there when Paul told the people in the ship, you remember, at sea, when they had this collapse and this destruction of their ship, they were not there. They weren't there to hear what Paul said. But now they are seeing it with their own eyes. They think, well, this guy who escaped from sea, this snake has been sent to kill him. There's no way he's going to survive this. There's no way under this heaven he's going to survive this snake. But then, right before their very eyes, before, they saw Paul just shook off this viper. Now, ordinary human beings don't do that. Regular people don't shake off vipers. Now, they know these people are barbarians. They live on that island. They know that when that happens to you, you are dead. That's it. You are finished. You are caboose. You are, that's it. You are over. You are history. Nobody survives a viper, a venomous viper coming out of a fire. No. Nobody survives that. But guess what? Paul was no ordinary person. Remember what he told them at sea? He said, "I belong to God. There is something about God that is within me. The greater one lives within me. The one that's greater than shipwreck, the one that's greater than sickness, the one that's greater than a venomous viper, the one that's greater than a curse, the one that's greater than disaster, the one that's greater than anything in the world. Say, he who lives within you is greater than he that is in the world. The one that's greater than bad news and bad report. The one that's greater than a bad economy. The one that's greater than anything you can deal with in your life. He is greater than it all. He says, that one dwells within me and I belong to him. And he demonstrated here, this is not just talk. Because for many of us, believers many times, it's really just talk. But when we really deal with situations in life, you know, then you see so much drama. You see so much panic and so much fear and turmoil. And, you know, sometimes we die before we actually die. It's like you know, just from a difficult situation. But remember what we read in Romans 8:37. The Bible told us that God has given us overwhelming victory. The complete Jewish Bible. Remember, it says, we are super conquerors. Oh, I love it. I love it. Don't you? We are super conquerors. Super conquerors over everything. Over anything that may come at you in life. The Lord who lives within you is the one who has guaranteed your victory. So let me boldly say to you tonight, actually, before I do that, let's read the last part of that scripture there in verse 6. Howbeit, when they looked, when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and they saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. They said he was a god. This human being is a god. You know what? They were right. They were right, because there is something about the Almighty God that's within that man. That's why that venomous viper could not destroy him. That's why he didn't need so much drama. You know, sometimes people tell us, well, you know, in order to overcome, you have to jump 20 times, you have to shake 15 times, you have to roll about 35 times. No. The Bible says Paul just shook that thing into the fire. Glory be to God. He just shook it into the fire. Just shook it. I love it. He just shook it into the fire. The Amplified says in verse 5, but Paul simply shook off. He simply shook off the small creature into the fire, and he suffered no evil effect. Glory to God. He suffered no evil effect. Why? Because he belonged to God. Because the greater one lives within him. Because God guaranteed his victory. Now, every other human being that experiences this kind of thing, they don't come out unscathed. They don't come out like the three Hebrew boys, you know, who were thrown into the fire. And the Bible says even the hair on their head was not singed. There was even no smell of fire on them. Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den, and the Bible says God sent his angel and just tied up the mouth of the lion. They couldn't, and Daniel was basically doing praise worship inside the lion's den. He was there having a wonderful time, and those lions couldn't touch him. That does not happen to ordinary people. That does not happen to average people. But child of God, you are not ordinary. You are not average. God is showing you. He's been showing us now the last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks. You are of God. You carry God's DNA. It's important that you are able to look at yourself differently from the way the world looks at you. Because if you look at yourself differently and you believe about yourself differently, the world will finally see that there is something different about you. And that will so confound them to the point where they'll say, you know what? I think he's a god. I think she's a goddess. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Look there in verse 6. It says, however, while, this is the Amplified, it says, while they were waiting, expecting him to swell up or suddenly drop dead, but when they had watched him a long time and saw nothing fatal or harmful come to him, they changed their minds. Listen now. And they kept saying over and over that he was a god. I mean, they were so confounded by this situation. They just, you know, they just went around just shaking their head. He's a god. She's a goddess. she's a goddess. Glory to God. Now, I'm so excited about this. Just because of the word that the Lord put in my heart out of this scripture for you, for 2 weeks now, for 3 weeks actually, well, since we started these services, I've wanted to read this to you. I've just not gotten to it. I want to read it to you tonight. The Lord told me to tell you that there are various things that are of the world that have the capacity to harm, kill, and destroy ordinary people. But because you are of God and you know it, you will shake those same things into the fire and will feel no harm or damage. Your victory is guaranteed because you belong to God. I'm going to read it to you again. Whichever part of it you can jot in your notes and look at later and remind yourself, that would be extremely helpful. But let me read this out to you again. The Lord told me to tell you that there are various things that are of the world that have the capacity to harm, to kill, to destroy ordinary people. But because you are no ordinary person, you are of God and you know it, you will shake those same things into the fire and you will feel no harm or damage. Your victory is guaranteed because you are of God. I think I'm going to stop. I think I'm going to stop here tonight. We have one more service in January. So I'm trusting God that when we come back, I can hit two things by God's grace next week that are paramount to your victory. We've already talked about two very important ones. One, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing who you belong to, who you are from. Very important. And then being able to receive those things that he channels to you and demonstrating your victory in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into this tonight because I know there's no way, there's no chance that I'm going to finish it and then I'm going to keep you longer than I really want to keep you tonight. But when we, by God's grace, when we come back next week, we'll look at two aspects of our guaranteed victory. The first one is what I call the major requirement for victory, and that's the will to win, the will to win. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God one of the most paramount, one of the most prominent scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, where the Bible talks about victory for the people of God. And actually, one of these scriptures is where the word victory shows up the most in any chapter of the Bible in the Old Testament. You see it showing up multiple times, depending on what translation of the Bible you're reading. And I want to show you there, the will to win is one of the most fundamental requirements for enjoying guaranteed victory in life. Now listen to what I said. I didn't say the will to fight. There are a lot of people who have the will to fight. They say, yeah, we're going to fight. Now, I'm not talking about the will to fight. Because if all you have is the will to fight, when, you know, the fight gets really bad and really tough, and you're going to see it in that scripture, sometimes it can get wearying. A lot of people quit. I'm not talking about the will to fight. I'm talking about the will to win. The will, your will to win. That's what's represented in those two lines in our 2019 confession, where it says, whichever way life turns, I don't care. Whether the world goes up or down, I don't care. When this is all said and done, when this is all over, we win. That is, there is a will, not just to fight, but there is a will to win. That is, it's not over until we win. So whatever you deal with, whatever you go through, we're not just, you know, people talk all the time about going through. No, we're not just going through. We are going to. Where are we going to? We are going to victory. We're going to victory. We're going to super conqueror status. That's where we're going to. There's not many people so talk so much all the time about, oh, we're going through. Going through sometimes has become almost like a doctrine. It's almost like the status of many believers. We're going through. But going through is just half of the story. Going through is like, yeah, I'm being besieged on every side. I'm being attacked. The trouble is there. But If you are just going through, you haven't won. You are not winning. We are not just called to go through. We are called to go through. Go to victory. And I see you going to victory tonight in Jesus' mighty name. So we'll talk to you. I'll talk to you a little bit about that. If I can, in that same service next week, I'll talk to you about the strategy for winning, which is wisdom. If I can get to it, I will. If I don't, I'm teaching on that during Sunday services anyway. So, but I will talk to you about the will to win by God's grace next week. I trust God that you have been blessed. I want to close tonight. I want you to unmute your phones and let's just thank God for the word that He has shown us and that He has given to us. We belong to God. Because we belong to God, our victory is guaranteed.